Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
And while you're turning there, Pastor Mandy is next door with all of her team and all of the children. But she wanted me to let you know, ladies, January 29th, Empower kicks back off after 9 months. And we've revamped everything. And so you want to mark this on your calendar. Friday night, 7 o'clock, January 29th. There's going to be live worship. There's going to be great word. There's going to be free food. There's going to be fire pits. There's going to be inflatables. It's going to be a huge night. And we want you here. Bring your daughters, your mom, your sister, your friend. Invite people from your job. It's going to be a great, great night in the Family Life Center. And it's all free. And I love this. You don't have to sign up. All you've got to do is show up. It's going to be great. And, guys, we haven't forgot about you. February is our month. More details to follow. But January 29th, when Pastor Mandy says it on Sunday, just act like you hadn't heard it before and cheer real loud. But I wanted to go ahead and tell you 2 weeks from this Friday, ladies, it's going to be a great, great night. Luke chapter 4. The Spirit of the Lord is on me. This is Jesus talking. Because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Turn to your neighbor and just tell them as you're seated, I am anointed. I am anointed. Last Wednesday night, we started this series with the phrase, nothing takes the place of the anointing. I believe that there is no substitute for the anointing for the Spirit of God in our lives. I believe that some people try to duplicate, try to substitute other things for the anointing, but there is no substitute for the anointing. I think it's very, very important that we are careful as the church, and when I say the church, the universal church, I think it's careful that we can change our methods, but the message has to remain the same. There is no Holy Ghost light. There is no junior Holy Ghost. There is no less offensive Holy Ghost. Come on now. There isn't an anointing for church, but that you refuse to take to your job. You're either anointed or you're not. And see, when you get anointed, it should excite you because now that means you're anointed in the house of God, but you're also anointed at your house. You're anointed on your job. You're anointed on the street. You're anointed in the doctor's office, the lawyer's office. You are I am anointed wherever I go. Anointing defined, we discussed three definitions of anointing. To be covered with God's Spirit, the New Testament, we call it the Holy Ghost. God covering our ability with his ability. When I fall short and when our strength falls short, the anointing kicks in. One of my prayers is, and we use it in our wedding ceremonies here at Living Way, but it's become a regular prayer of my life, is, God, I pray that you would make up the difference today. What I cannot get done, Holy Ghost, step in and do. When I don't know what to say, Holy Ghost, shut my mouth and you begin to talk. And so I want to encourage you to not feel, and let me free someone today. You're not going to be able to get the job done by yourself. And that's okay. You don't have to be Superwoman. You don't have to be Wonder Woman. You don't have to be Superman, Batman, or Thor. You just have to be a man or woman that is anointed by the Spirit of God. And that his ability covers our ability. And the final definition we discussed was anointing is God's rubbing his super on our natural. And that we become supernatural and we have access to the supernatural. And we talk about the signs that follow believers. And we talk about the miracles and wonders that should be a part of our everyday life. And it's not coincidence that they happen. It is not guarantee that they happen. But as believers, when we are anointed, something powerful happens in our life, and it's no longer life as usual. But every day you wake up saying, God, there's no more such thing as impossibility because I've got your spirit on me, in me, guiding me, and around me. Some of the things that God has called you to do, some of the things that God has called us to do, our talent, our skill, our power, our strength alone cannot get the job done. We need His anointing. One of the credit card companies says, don't leave home without it. Can I encourage you? Don't leave home without the anointing. It's stronger and more protective than the face mask that you carry everywhere you go. It's better than a cell phone, because with the anointing, you can call on God anytime you want, and He sends all of heaven and every angel to err and run and do whatever you have called them to do. It's better than your wallet, because your wallet can only pay for things that you have a credit limit for. But when you got the Holy Ghost, it's no holds barred. Anything that God has called you to have, you can have. Anything He's called you to do, you can do. When we're faced with negativity and impossibility, we talked last week that we have to continually remind ourselves that I am anointed. That I'm anointed for four reasons: for this time, for this place, for these people, and for this purpose. When you understand that God's anointing is not to just give you favor, but God's anointing is so that you can make a difference in 2021. That you're anointed for San Antonio. You're anointed. It's amazing how many times that we just go to work. We punch the time clock and we put our 40 or 50 hours in. But could it be that God has called you and opened that door at the job for you to have, not so that you could just make some money and pay your bills, but could it be that there's somebody with cancer that needs to be healed? Could it be that somebody that is getting ready to take their life, God knew that their cubicle was going to be next to your cubicle? And so that's why it's important that when you wake up in the morning, you say, I am the anointing of God. And when I leave this house, I'm anointed to shake the earth. I'm anointed to shake the foundation. I'm anointed to heal. I'm anointed to deliver. I'm anointed to bring peace wherever I go. I'm anointed for these people. Everybody in your life should have access to your anointing. You're not anointed just for you. The anointing, you are a vessel. We used to sing, if you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Take my hands, Lord, and my feet. Touch my heart, Lord, speak to me. I would sing it, but my voice is already a little raspy, and it wouldn't sound as good as what you just heard. But we are anointed as a vessel, meaning God's anointing doesn't just rest on us. It comes and flows through us. That's why Jesus would say, I'm anointed, and this is why I'm anointed, to do these four things. And then we finally ended last session talking about the anointing makes the impossible possible. Whenever you are up against an impossibility, that's when you better make sure that you're still anointed. That's when you better make sure that God's super is still on your natural. That God's ability is still on our ability. When you get bad reports from the doctor, from wherever, whatever source that is, when negativity shows up and when it is diametrically opposed to what God's word has already promised you, that's when the anointing kicks in and says, Brandon, don't you worry about that. It's not by your power. It's not by your might, but it is by the Spirit of the Lord. This is why I anointed you, was for this moment. This is why I anointed you before. Remember, we're not anointed for what we've come out of. We're anointed for what we're getting ready to step into, and this anointing is going to prepare you. Onto the new material. I believe before we can possess new territory, before our hands can lay hold on new favor, before we step into new seasons, before we defeat new foes, we need a fresh anointing. It's where we shifted at the end of last week's service when we began to pray for people and anoint people. And the three things that I said was, God, give them fresh oil, fresh anointing, and fresh fire. Why? Because I don't know what's in front of you. You might not even know what's in front of you, but there is a God that created you. There is a God that knows the end from the beginning. And so I believe when people rushed to this altar and lined up and we anointed you, God said, I had you there on a Wednesday night.
I gave Brandon this series to kick off the year because February's coming and there's a Goliath you don't know that's standing in the middle of February. But your anointing that you received in January is going to get you ready to go through whatever stands between you and your destiny in February. So before we possess new territory, lay hands on new favors, step in a new season, defeat new foes, we need a fresh anointing. If you're writing your notes down, write down fresh anointing. At the beginning of any new season of our life, we need what I call an alpha anointing. This is an anointing that is specific for your new season and prepares you for what is ahead. When you go to a new job in a career field that you have never worked in, they might hire you, but they say, first we're going to put you in training. Because we want to make sure that you can do what we've hired you to do. Come on, somebody. You don't train for free. They still pay you to be trained. Some of us are avoiding the training season of life or the anointing seasons of life because it's not as great as the favor seasons and the knocking down Goliath seasons and the red spleet sitting seasons. But I want to encourage you that God is paying for me while I'm being trained. God is taking care of me while I'm being trained. And I don't mind sitting myself down and say, God, I'm going to fast at the beginning of this year because I believe you have something to do in me. I'm going to pray a little more in January to prepare myself and get trained so that when I show up where you've called me to be and the anointing rests on me, I'm ready to do what you've called me to do. So there's an alpha anointing that anoints us for a new season and prepares us for what is ahead. Somebody say my future. Let's go to Luke chapter 4. This is an amazing text. And there's a lot of times when I preach, and I preach things repetitiously that I've heard or that I've read, that I've studied, but I've also heard other pastors and preachers mention. But God gave me and led me through Luke 4 the last 3 weeks, and he's shown me some amazing things that I want to dive into tonight. And I don't want to rush through it because we still have 2 weeks in this series, but I believe that for some believers here tonight, you're going to be blessed and encouraged. Verse 14 of chapter 4 in Luke, and Jesus returned to Galilee. And he didn't just return to Galilee. The NIV says he returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. Now we know that that means he returned with a new anointing. For you to really grasp and for us to grasp verse 14, we've got to look at what happened verses 1 through 13. It is when Jesus was led into the wilderness to be tempted and he fasted. Come on, how many are fasting with us or how many have completed your fast already this year? He fasted and he prayed. Why did he fast and pray? Because God was getting ready to do a new thing through Jesus. You are fasting or you have fasted. You are praying because God is getting ready to do a new thing with you, a new thing for you. Can I talk to some elder saints that you've been living for God for 30, 40, 50 years? Can I encourage you? Take your hand off of cruise control. Take your foot and put it back on that pedal because we've got a lot left to do. And I just want to encourage you that God's given you a new anointing in 2021, that God is going to do new things in 2021, and God is going to use you to do a new thing through. He comes out of the wilderness, and the Bible says that Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. Jesus returned, and he returned from the wilderness. Now, anytime we see the wilderness in the Word of God, the wilderness is always a holding place or a place where people sometimes get stuck in the cycle before they can move on to something better, something greater, or perhaps their divine assignment. The greatest illustration of this is when we go back to the Old Testament, the nation of Israel,
they walked circles for 40 years, and it took them 40 years to make an 8-day trip because they got focused on the wilderness and what they didn't have instead of the purpose of the wilderness. The purpose of the wilderness, come on, God delivered them out of Egypt, but the purpose of the wilderness was to get Egypt out of them. Because if you go back into your new promised land with an Egypt mentality, you're going to turn the promised land into the last thing that God broke you out of and delivered you from. I'm preaching now. In 2021, we've got to step in with a new anointing. We've got to make sure that the old things in 2021 are broken off of us. Because if they're not broken off of us and we don't know how to live under the new anointing and realize I am anointed, we will turn 2021 right back into what we came out of and what we prayed to be delivered from, which was 2020. Jesus returned from the wilderness. He came out of the wilderness different than when he went in. Jesus in this moment teaches us something I never hear anyone preach, and it's how to deal with the wilderness seasons of your life. Check this out. He was anointed when he was in the wilderness, not when he was opening blinded eyes and bringing Lazarus out the grave. When was David anointed? When he was on the backside of nowhere, and no one knew his name, and no one knew what God had called him to do, and no one looked at him as a king. They thought he was just a shepherd boy. Can I encourage you that the greatest season of struggle in your life is the time when God is preparing you and when God is anointing you? That's why in 2020, I didn't fear all of the quarantine, because I knew that God was anointing me in that season. God, I know everybody else is wilding out. God, I know everybody else is fearful. God, I know everybody else is panicking and throwing in the towel. But God, I believe that on the backside of nowhere, when nobody's watching me, you are molding me. You are shaping me. You are anointing me so that when I cross the threshold into 2021, I am the somebody you called me to be. That when I show up in January, I am anointed. Woo! What had killed others in the wilderness propelled Jesus. What had delayed others in the wilderness prepared Jesus. What had confused others in the wilderness focused Jesus. Jesus came out of that wilderness different than when he went in. Most go into the wilderness hoping they survive. Here's something powerful. The moment that you get lost in the wilderness, there's two things you're going to start looking for: food and water. Jesus went into the wilderness knowing that food and water were not an option because he was there to fast. And when he got his eyes off of what everybody else is looking for, and he started connecting with God the Father, which is why he went in. Come on, he didn't go in there because God didn't think he could do the job. He said, all right, son, you've been living on that earth for 30 days. I need to take you into the wilderness, because when I take you into the wilderness, I'm not going to let you eat bread. I'm not going to let you have grape juice. You're not going to have a sip of wine. But for 40 days, it's going to be me and you. Because when you step out of this wilderness, you're going to be ready for whatever's in front of you. When you step out of this wilderness, every Lazarus and every grave is coming out. When you step out of this, some of us are behind because 2020, we were looking at how we were going to survive instead of focusing in on God, saying, God, what are you going to teach me in this season of wilderness? What are you going to teach me in this season where I don't have everything that I have? Last night, I already did, and we approached this.
And let me just say this for those of you fasting. Don't beat yourself up if you fall off the wagon. I've had great questions. Can I chew gum? Please chew gum. Can I have breath mints? Please, two would be great. Fasting is to change how you normally would live. And focusing and making sacrifices. And so the way that we've taught our kids is when we go on a church-wide fast, we want you to fast, but you choose how you fast. So I did 3 days no food fast. Jane did, I think she's on the 10-day Daniel fast. Mandy's on the 21-day Daniel fast. So last night, I said, you got some willpower. Because, I mean, your boy will just flat out eat crazy in front of her on that fast. Because I want her spirit to be really strong. I said, man, you're very disciplined. I said, it's another reason I love you. You're amazingly disciplined. She goes, man, God's really been speaking to me. She says, it's amazing to me that when I'm fasting and I read the word of God, Sister Tammy, you'll understand what she's saying here. She said, it's amazing how much clearer God's word is and how stronger his voice is when I crucify my flesh. And she said, I'm really thinking these next 10 days on the Daniel fast, I'm going to up it up, and I think I'm going to cut out TV. And I said, oh, that's good. That you should do that, baby girl. That's awesome. And she said, I'm even thinking about cutting our subscription to Netflix. I said, hold on now. Don't force your fast on me. No, just... What she's saying is I want to make sure that in the season when everything's wild, wilderness, wild, that instead of looking to other sources, come on, there's some of us. If we got lost in Stone Oak, we'd be looking for corn nuts and a Big Red. He gets led in the wilderness, and he's not looking for how he's going to make it. He begins to lean into the Father and say, God, if you led me here, come on now. If you led me here, you're going to keep me here. You're going to sustain me. But I believe you're not only going to keep me and sustain me, but I believe you're going to anoint me that when I leave this place, I'm stronger than when I went in. When you read Daniel's account, Daniel, for 21 days, they fasted and did not take the king's portion and the king's meat. And the Bible said when all of them came out, come on now, they were stronger than everybody else that had been eating steaks. They had a better color than everybody else that had been eating steaks. Why? Because God had shown up and prepared them in the middle of the wild seasons of their life. March 2020, most people we know shifted to survival mode. You know how I know that? Because toilet paper became a commodity. People trading toilet paper. I need toilet paper. Do you have a roll? Do you have a square to spare for you Seinfeld fans? They shifted into survival mode. However, there was a group of faith-filled people, not only in this room, not only at this church, but around the world, that when all the craziness, we didn't slip into survival mode. We started thinking, what am I going to get out of this season so that when the next season shows up, God can do what he promised he would do? Because I'm going to be ready for what he's about to do. Some of us want the fresh anointing, but we don't want the wild season. But if I can encourage you, the way that they get the oil is they take the olives and they press them. Can I encourage somebody? You've come out of your pressing season. 2020 pressed you like a vice, but out of you came the best part of you. Out of you came a new level of faith. Out of you came a new level of anointing. If you can make it through the pressing season, you will have new oil for this season. I love this. You're going to love this. Luke 4 verse 1 says that Jesus was led into the wilderness by the Spirit. When he comes out of the wilderness, go back up to our initial, it said Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. He was led into the wilderness by the Spirit. He came out of the wilderness in the Spirit.
And here we're about to see when he walks in the synagogue, he opens up the book of Isaiah and says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. He was led by the Spirit. The Spirit got in him. And he said, the Spirit's on me. What was not on you in before the season of pressing, when you went through the wild seasons, when you went through the dry seasons, but you kept your faith anyway, when you went through the tough divorce, but you kept your praise anyhow, when you went through the season of lack, but you kept your focus anyway, God said the Spirit was on you, the Spirit led you, the Spirit's in you, you are anointed for this season. Woo! Turn to your neighbor and just tell him, I'm anointed. Verse 14, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. News about Jesus spread through the countryside. News about a man who had not performed any miracles spread through the countryside. News about a man who they have already said is not the Messiah, but he is Mary's bastard son. The news spread about him. What news spread about him? Hey, you remember that Jesus of Nazareth that was born to Mary 30 years ago? Well, he's been out in the wilderness, and we thought he went out there to end his life. But here he came out, and he looks stronger than he's ever looked. There's something different about Jesus coming out of the wilderness than when we saw him go in there a month and a half ago. Can I tell you that when you get anointed, just like Jesus, everybody in your circle, everybody on your block, everybody on the floor of your job is going to know. I don't know what it's called, but there's something different about them. There's something different about her. She carries herself a different way. She walks with purpose, talks with purpose. There's something different. Let's go just a little further. Verse 15. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everybody praised him. Jesus, who had not yet turned water to wine, is teaching in their synagogues. Jesus, who had not opened any blinded eyes yet, was teaching in their synagogues. Jesus, who had not opened the fish's mouth and pulled out gold coins that Peter fished for to pay. All of that had not happened yet, but for some reason, the anointed Jesus is teaching in the synagogues. You know why that is? The anointing that you carry on your life will always magnify your gift. This is a man that they said was an imposter, that they said was a liar, that they said there was no reason, there was no way that he could be who he and Mary and Joseph said that he was. And here Jesus walks out, and he's newly anointed from the wilderness, and they're handing him microphones when he comes in the back door of the synagogue, and they're saying, hey, Jesus, I need you to preach. I know you've been sweeping up the floor in your stepdaddy's carpentry shop, but I'm going to need you to teach and preach us something. Never been to school, yet they want him to preach. Because your gift is magnified from your anointing. Whatever God has made you good at becomes amplified when you are anointed. You might be a great speaker, but once you're anointed, now you can deliver the captives. Come on, now you can bind the broken heart. You might be a good singer, but once you get anointed, you're going to break chains off of people. You're going to bring people into the holiest of holy places. The anointing changes everything. There's two people that I know, and they know each other, and one of them is one of the best singers I have ever heard, bar none, Christian or secular, and she is a Christian singer, and she is an absolutely amazing singer. And I've always, anytime she sings, I love to just watch and listen, because it is a great gift. But she's got a friend that is not near as talented as she is. Both of them are Christian, both of them are praise and worship leaders. Now, I've been in services where the friend that has the best voice sings and people applaud, the Spirit moves, things happen. But I've also been in services where the other girl sings. She's not near as talented, not near as doesn't have near the vocal quality or tone or range. Yet when she sings, I'm talking about miracles take place. And I remember talking about this with Pastor Becky because she's a psalmist and a singer. I said, why do you think that is? She said, it's serious. One's a great singer. One is an anointed singer. And the anointed singer is the one that gets those results. Can I encourage you? You might not be the best, but I need you to be anointed. You might not be the smartest, but I need you to be the anointed. You might not have the most experience, but I need you to be the anointing. Why? Because the anointing breaks the yoke of bondage. Not good, not best, but the anointing. The anointing magnifies your gift. Your gift makes room, Proverbs 18, 16. This is going to bless somebody. Proverbs 18, 16 reads, a man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. One translation says great and influential people. Your anointing, follow me on this, your anointing magnifies your gift. Your gift gives you position. Your position gives you opportunity. Your opportunity brings you to the right people. Some of us are saying and have said, if I only knew so-and-so, if I could just get to so-and-so, if I could have a conversation with him, if I could ever get close enough to her. But what we discount is that we've got an anointing, and we've got an anointing that's going to magnify the gift we have, and that gift is going to position us in front of important men and women. And once we get that position, opportunities are going to be born. And once those opportunities are born, it's going to bring us to the right people. Singles, listen up. You don't need to go on eHarmony. You don't need to go on Christian Mingle. You don't need to go where ebonies meet. What you need is to get anointed. And when you get anointed, God is going to bring you to the right people. Can I talk to you entrepreneurs? You're saying, if I could just get along with Mark Cuban and tell him my business plan. I wish I could get on Shark Tank. You don't need Cuban. You don't need Shark Tank. You don't need Mr. Wonderful. What you need is Jesus. What you need is his anointing. And he will hook you up with the right people that are going to change your future. Your anointing magnifies your gift. Gift gives you position. Position opens up opportunity. Opportunity brings you to the right people. I'm going to close with verse 16. And Jesus went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. He went to Nazareth. Isn't it amazing that Jesus has this fresh anointing? He's got this fresh power. Spirit of God is on him in such a profound and strong way that people all around him that don't even know him have begun to notice that there's an anointing that he carries. And if they don't know what it's called, there's something different about Jesus now ever since he went through that wild time in the wilderness. Isn't it amazing that he could have gone anywhere, but he goes back to his old block? Why is that? I'm going to help somebody today. I believe when you're anointed and it breaks the bondage that you've lived in and under, I believe whatever the anointing frees you from gives you a ministry in. I believe whatever the anointing frees you from, you have a ministry in. And so I think that Jesus went back to show everybody else that, hey, I know what it's like to be born and run the streets of Nazareth. I know where you're coming from. But let me tell you something. There is a God, come on now, that if you'll give him time, if you'll give him a reason to reach into your life, if you'll invite him in, he'll anoint you too. And I know that nothing good can come from here is what they say. But I came from here, and I'm more than good. I'm God. And so I want to encourage you, when God anoints you, don't forget that God anointed you for a purpose. And if he delivered you from drugs, you've got anointing to break that bondage. If he anointed you from running around and multiple relationships and living that lascivious life, then now you've got an anointing for relationships to pour in, to shape, to make them what God has called them to be. He's brought up in Nazareth, and he goes down to Nazareth. Ooh, you're going to like this on a Wednesday night. And on the Sabbath day, he went to the synagogue as was his custom, and he stood up to read. Here's four words that you need to write down, but I've never heard anyone make this point, and it's so simple. Jesus went to church. He's Jesus. He shows up at church. He's all God. He shows up at church. He is anointed, and he shows up at church. The Bible says, and it was on the Sabbath day, and he went to the synagogue. I love this because it was his custom, not a custom. It was his custom. I'm going to church. It's Sunday. It's Sabbath. I'm going to church. But Jesus, you're anointed. You could do a lot more downtown San Antonio with the homeless. The homeless will be there on Sunday night, Monday morning, Thursday afternoon. I'm going to church. Why are you going to church, Jesus? Because I'm anointed. I'm going to keep the anointing. I'm going to let the anointing flow. I'm going to get a word. I'm going to rendezvous with God so that when I leave the church, the synagogue, that anointing's still intact. Jesus went to church. It was his custom. He said, when the doors are open, I go to church. I go to church. Stand on your feet. Here's the final thing that it says he did. And he read the book of Isaiah. And he read. He stood up to read. Go back one verse. I'm sorry, verse 16. He'd been brought up. Went to the Sabbath day. He went to the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read. You know what I love about Jesus? He went to church. You know what I love about Jesus? It was his custom. You know what I really love about Jesus? He said, I'm here to serve. But you're Jesus. I'm here to serve. The whole reason Jesus came is to seek and to save that which is lost. He said, I'm here on this earth to serve. I come to church to serve. And he's about, we're going to get to it next week. He's about to tell them what he's anointed to do. So the reason I'm anointed is not just for the world. I'm anointed for the church. I know I'm preaching the proverbial choir on a Wednesday night, but I'm glad you're here on a Wednesday night. You know what that means? It means it's your custom to go to church. It means as good as it's been in your life, you're coming to church, or as bad as it's been, you're coming to church. Why? Because that's your custom. You got the Holy Ghost, you're still showing up. You're anointed, you're still showing up. And you know what I love about Wednesday night? You're the serving people. Got up to serve. I want to open this altar right now for those that have been through the pressing. 2020 has pressed you in ways you didn't think it pressed you. The wilderness season has been longer than you thought it would be. You're standing here tonight on a Wednesday saying, Pastor, we're already 14 days. I'm going to wait till February 1st. Somebody else has thrown in the towel. I'm going to wait till 2022. Don't you believe the lie of the devil. You were born for this moment right now. The Spirit might have led you into the pressing, but it's pressing you to get the best part out of you, the anointing. As men and women come to this altar today, some of them are newer faces. Some of them are faces I've seen grow in this church. Some of them I were raised in. Some of them coming back to God after maybe a few days away, a few moments away, a few months away. All of that fades because this moment right now, God is about to give you a fresh dose of the anointing. God right now is getting ready to move on you in a fresh way. Lord, I thank you, God, for bringing them to this place. I thank you, God, that in this moment, that, Lord, they don't move backwards, but, Lord, they move forwards. God, 2020 might have squeezed them, but what the enemy thought was going to take them out actually produced a new level of anointing in their life. They are the anointed of God for this time, this place, these people, this purpose. They're no longer looking for how they're going to survive, but God, they're leaning into the Holy Ghost and the anointing that you have placed on them, saying, God, I believe you are preparing me in this moment for what you have in front of me. God, in the name of Jesus,
I pray, God, that everybody in this altar, starting right down here with Sean and Gina, God, I believe that right now a fresh anointing is on their life, God. The pressing season. What is